Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have a very interesting show for you today. Lots of guests, lots of different backgrounds. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I ask you to do each and every day, each and every show, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. Find someone who needs this information. Find someone who needs to hear this, learn this, whether they're an entrepreneur, a business owner, maybe they're still employed, but they want to take that entrepreneurial leap. Have them tune in to the Roundtable Talk Show because we know that friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you are finding someone to share the show with, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, who is Miss Tisha Foster. Tisha is the author of a book called My Journey with God Through Stiff Person Syndrome. Tisha hopes to inspire others through her journey and create more awareness around the rare syndrome. Good morning, Tisha. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am blessed. I woke up this morning.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's learn about your story, your journey. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Tisha Foster. I'm an author. I'm an ex-model, and I'm also the CEO of My Journey with God Through Stiff Person Syndrome. Brooklyn native, born and raised, and a mom of two sons.
Well, what may I ask is stiff person syndrome?
Stiff person syndrome is a one in a million rare autoimmune disorder. Occurs when your immune system identifies normal body tissues as harmful and begin to fight each other against each other. It also comes with other autoimmune disorders, such as cancers, diabetes, thyroid problems, seizures. Yeah, those would be the things that
How did you discover that you had this syndrome?
Whoa, it was a 2-year journey. Multiple doctor visits, MRIs, lab work. It really took them 2 years because in 2009, I was basically the first person in this particular hospital that was diagnosed. No one knew about the disease, and it wasn't even designed for women. Stiff person syndrome was designed for men. Now they're saying stiff person syndrome. When I was diagnosed, it was stiff man syndrome. So it wasn't even, they said it wasn't even designed for women. And they said the men that was contracting this disease was big men. Here I am, 5'7", 170 pounds, and I developed this disease.
And so, because it was so rare, and you said multiple doctor's visits, I'm pretty sure that for some time the doctors had no idea what was going on. Now, was it, go ahead.
I'm sorry. The first that they didn't know what was going on because the first diagnosis they gave me was early stages of Parkinson's. Then it was, no, that's not what you have. After I go back, to do more lab, no, that's not what it is. And then they said, oh, you're in the early stages of MS. No, that's not what it is. It literally took them 2 years to find what was going on with my body. My body was going through so much to where I stopped walking. I was no longer walking.
And you're able to walk and everything now?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to know. I see you sitting in a chair. I'm like, congratulations.
I can stand up for you now.
Stand up, girl. Stand up, Tisha.
God is good. Yes, I'm able to walk. I'm able to walk now.
Okay. So when you were going through this process and the doctors were trying to figure out what exactly going on, were you that kind of person that kept pressing them for answers and kept saying, you have to figure this out? Because too often we just accept the answer of, I don't know. We don't know what's going on. Were you one of those people that were all day, all night on Google doing your own research?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And the reason why is because I have two sons. And when started, my baby was four, well, three. 3 when it first started. He was 3. And my body just kept going through all these different changes. It, you know, it was becoming difficult for me to be a mom. And that's what I wanted. So yes, I kept going and kept asking and kept calling and doing research and found out that the first person that contracted the disease was in 1956.
Wow.
And it was a man. Wow. It was a man. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh no, this cannot work. And then I'm like, the other first question was, the very first question was, is it fatal?
Mm-hmm.
I have kids.
Right.
I can't leave my kids. Not now, God, no. And then they was like, they didn't know. They didn't even know whether it was fatal or not. They didn't know anything. So I started doing a research on my own.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tisha, I'm going to come back to you, but I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next guest because I have so many more questions for you. Our next guest is Miss Olivia Summerhill. Olivia is the founder of Summerhill Wealth Management. She works exclusively with affluent women, protecting their lifestyle throughout the divorce process. Olivia works closely with her clients, divorce attorneys, to give them the ammunition they need to negotiate the most advantageous settlement possible. Good morning, Olivia. How are
morning.
You?
I'm doing so well. How are you?
I am fine. You, when I look at you, first of all, you look like a teenager. So let me just.
I know.
That right there.
I look so young. I know. It's a curse.
But aside from that, you don't look like someone who will be negotiating, you know, wealth in divorces. How did you even wind up on this path?
So great of a question. So everything I do, I'm such a type A personality. So everything I do is so calculated and planned. Obviously, I'm a planner in real life. So in my business and personal, I love to make sure I have everything in order. And so I was in wealth management for almost a decade. I know I look young, but I loved what I was doing. Very comfortable, cushy job, working with the rich, getting them richer, working with mostly men, managing portfolios, almost $1 billion in assets, like just doing life, loving it. Uh-huh. And I realized that I kept having all of these females being referred to me that were divorced and they don't need a retirement plan in 30 years. They don't need that help. They do not need someone telling them, oh, you should do this in 30 years. They don't care about retirement. So I realized there's a huge need for someone who just got divorced, who was destroyed in that divorce. And every question I kept asking, it never came to a conclusion of, oh yeah, I had someone there next to me, because their divorce attorney isn't the financial expert helping them with finding hidden assets from their ex. So I decided to pursue my own business and help them throughout the divorce process. So within the divorce, helping them on their side within every single conflict financially, and helping make sure that they're not just intimidated, shaking their head, not getting what they deserve with finances, because that's what they tend to do when they're being belittled and not knowing what financial terms mean. And then post-divorce, helping them with the day-to-day, because if you think about it, once again, they don't need a yearly plan. You know, they don't care what happens in a year or 10 years. They need someone to help them with budgeting and the basics and the really money management of what is a credit card? What is a home loan? How do I do this on my own? I've never dealt with the finances. So I'm now there 100% of the time to help them with the ins and outs. So took a lot of planning, but I jumped and now I've been doing this for a while and I love it.
I can imagine. One of the things that's often said, and you kind of mentioned it with the intimidation, is that women tend to, and correct me if I'm wrong, kind of just want to get it over with.
If
he says, you know, I get this, that's what I'll take. Okay. Tell us about that, Olivia.
Well, we hear a lot nowadays, it's almost like a keyword of narcissist personality, but a lot of the women that I deal with, they do have powerful men in their lives and they're going through a divorce and they've never known about the finances. So they're extremely intimidated and they're in the dark. So I now can go in there and actually break open the door and say, well, it's illegal for you to, you know, hide this. And let's actually look back 5 years, because they say the business isn't making money. Well, I know that it is, because this is what's happening in the past financially. They're just not wanting to pay you alimony. So they're intimidated. But if they have the right team, they have to have the divorce attorney. You have to have a mediator, divorce attorney. You have to have a therapist in a lot of circumstances to help you through that mental health. I'm not the guru in that. And then you have to have that financial powerhouse. And that's where I come into play. And I only work with women because I think that through my over a decade of in my life, I've seen powerful men with money and they're going to be okay. So they don't need my help. And so that's why I'm working with only women because they really do not need to just shake their head yes and be intimidated and take less than they deserve.
Wow. So how did you get the courage to do that? I mean, were you always this little, you seem like that little girl who just wanted to do whatever the boys were doing. Like you wanted to play softball, football. Like you were like, you can't stop me.
That's actually really funny you say that because I did like the, you know, I'd play in the backyard with all the guys football and I would do Boy Scouts. I had an older brother who taught me all that stuff, which was really fun. I've had that streak, but to get the confidence to actually start your own firm, that was a different level. So I planned. And so I have the confidence there, you know, always planning. And people who are listening today, if you're wanting to become an entrepreneur, you can, it just, you need to take that time to plan and really assess your strengths and weaknesses. And I also did at the very onset hire a career coach who worked only with financial professionals so that I knew I had that third party who was non-emotional. So it wasn't a voice in my head saying I can do it. It was a third party who actually gave me that utmost confidence to say, yeah, you can actually do this. Just get ahead and go now. Don't start when you're 40, 50, start now. So that's why I actually took the jump.
I'm going to come back to you, Olivia, sure. But I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, Ms. Beth Neidig. Beth is a speaker, author, podcast host, and magnetic business mentor, a big believer in the power of potential to catapult your business forward. Through her mantra of making potential possible, she co-authored top-rated cookbook, Clean Cocktails, Righteous Recipes for the Modern Mixologist. Beth has a sixth sense for business and strategy. Good morning, Beth. How are you?
Good morning. I am so excited to be here. And even though I started my business in my 40s, it's still working, Olivia. So it's okay.
I'm with you, Beth. I started all of this in my 40s. So I'm right there with
I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
She's okay. Olivia's fine. She's not sensitive. Okay. Nobody's sensitive on a roundtable talk show. That's what we do here. Let's go back. I'm very curious about this idea of clean cocktails, righteous recipes. When we think of, when I think of cocktails, righteousness is nowhere in that sentence. So talk to us about clean cocktails.
Well, clean cocktails came out of me being a nutritionist for 10 years. I was meeting with clients and they're like, great, I lost 20 pounds. Can I have a drink? Can I have a cocktail? Can I have a glass of wine? You know, it just, there was no information out there on how to really still enjoy your lifestyle while being on a healthy regimen. Mm-hmm. I met up with my co-author. We both love the idea. We were both hearing the same things and we got the book published. Mm-hmm. The end of 2017, it came out. We had amazing press like Oprah, Good Housekeeping, Better Homes and Gardens, a crazy press. And through that, through speaking to people and understanding what was going on with them, I now help people with their publicity. So I'm a publicity strategist where I make sure the foundation of your business is really solid so you can layer on that visibility. Because I have a quick story. So I was a Dr. Oz blogger with, not with the cocktails yet, but with healthy living, went onto his show and did not have an opt-in on my website. Like, does everybody know what that means? That means the thousands and thousands of people that went to my website, guess what I got? No emails. Like, so now I help people make sure that doesn't happen. All the while, I still promote my book. I make cocktails all over the TV, all over streaming, all over the internet to really bring my passion to light, but also work in my business.
Okay, so you didn't have a cocktail for me this morning? Nothing to whip up?
We have to do it after noon next time. It's 11:15 here in Jersey. I don't usually do morning cocktails, but there are three amazing Bloody Marys in here. So next time, babe, that I'm on, we'll have some Bloody Marys.
Okay. So what makes these cocktails conscious? Is it a different recipe or is it just the spirit of the idea?
No, so they're healthy cocktails, meaning that they're low in sugar and there are no chemicals, no process. It's all cocktails made with fresh vegetable and fruit juices, herbs, spices, and even a little bit of kombucha. So honestly, it's all your favorite cocktails, just made without those harsh chemicals, the syrupy sugars. And you remember when you'd have two or three cocktails out at a bar and you'd kind of feel sick in the morning? That was the sugar. So we've removed the headache and the migraine and the hangover from enjoying your healthy cocktails.
Wow, especially in this lockdown, I think I'm gonna go have to order me a copy of your book because I'm gonna need it in a couple hours. It's only 8 o'clock here. So you know what I mean? In a few hours, I'm gonna need me a cocktail. So I wanna take a look. Do you have recipes on your website?
I do. And if you Google Beth Nydick cocktails, there's a lot of recipes that come up. I'm making one tonight. The new one that I've been making, it's called the Mezcal Paloma. Grapefruit juice, lime juice, mezcal, and a little bit of honey syrup and a little seltzer to top it off. And I like to put a nice sprig of rosemary in there.
Wow, I like it. Now, what inspired you to write the book though?
It was really my clients and my friends' clients telling us all about how they wanted to have a cocktail. I was a bartender in college, so a lot of the recipes are actually from what I used to make for myself. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to, I was having friends over and they were like, oh, are you making that cocktail? And I was standing in my house and I looked around and I was like, more people need to know about these cocktails, thinking like, let's make a blog. But after I told the third person and they freaked out about how amazing that would be, I was like, this is a book. This is a book idea. And I knew it was a good idea because everybody I spoke to told me it was a good idea. And that's the way that I got a book agent. You know, I don't have 50,000 followers or $50,000 to throw at a book, but I could connect with an agent who knew what was going on in the trends for 2018 when the book came out. And it did really well because it connects and it still connects. I really think it's timeless.
Yes, Beth, I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Megan Tachi. Megan is a content strategist at Simple Texting. She has been recognized for her creative content development, which she oftentimes rattles the status quo. With a background in nonprofit marketing, Megan has since shifted her professional focus into the ways SAS can create intuitive solutions across all industries. Good morning, Megan. How are you?
Good morning. I am humbled to be with so many great minds like this early in the morning. It is a pleasure.
I know that feeling well. You know, when you think of people and you talk about the imposter syndrome, sometimes I'm like, can I actually sit in this seat and have this conversation with so many people? So I get it. Megan, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Absolutely. Great question. So I am a bit of an oddity because I am in the software as a service field as someone who came with zero tech background whatsoever. Baseline millennial, people like to assume that the internet is your playground, but I was someone who was really, really new to this. As you mentioned, nonprofit is where I came from. And something that I noticed over time is that it's a huge misconception that nonprofits don't have any money, the shoestring budgets. But what I did start to learn is that we don't have the resources to throw something at the wall and see if it sticks. We really have to nail it on the first try. And as I found myself working towards digital solutions and nonprofit, I realized there's really no opportunity here for people to get in on a baseline level and have the same access to software that, you know, these Fortune 500 companies have on a scalable level that, you know, a nonprofit can access. So that's how I started getting into really finding what software solutions are out there that can assist anyone from a small business to a Fortune 500. And that's how I landed at Simple Texting. Simple Texting is a fantastic organization just to begin because they have really great minds that come from a lot of different backgrounds. And essentially finding myself there, I realized texting and email marketing, I know as Beth said about opt-in, I realized that there's this huge world of the way that we're communicating that isn't necessarily gated by people that are industry specific, budget specific. It just was this playground that I got to get involved with that taught me so much about software, so much about the future of technology and how we communicate. And from there, it's just kind of exploded into giving me the opportunity to share software with people who aren't necessarily tech focused. I mean, I've gotten my own family involved in their family business. And to me, that's the baseline of success. If I can explain how to get my mother loaded up on software, then I know it's a product that pretty much anybody can use.
I want to talk to your mom. That's what I want to do. I want to ask her feedback and see what she has to say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's but I love her to death, but she actually just learned what copy and paste was this year. She used to write it down on paper and retype it. So this is, it's been a year of growth across the board.
Were you quarantined together? Did you have a lot of time to teach mom new things?
We were not, but you know, Zoom has been our best friend. And so a lot of education over Zoom. And recently I started getting into webinars with Simple Texting this year. So having her join in and learn things from there step-by-step, it's been an interesting year for digital communication, no doubt, I think, across the board.
How long did it take you to teach mom how to Zoom?
Well, if my mom is asking, it took me, you know, it was simple, but I'd say like 2 weeks before everyone was off of mute and communicating perfectly.
No, I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I'm just curious. Because yeah. I always talk about, I really believe that had it not been for COVID, the success of the Roundtable Talk Show would never have taken off the way it did. Because prior to this, you meet so many people say, oh, I don't Zoom. I only network offline. You know, I don't even do any of that technology. And now all of a sudden, everybody is on Zoom. Everybody's, you know, doing these little calls, but it still takes time. And for me, the whole Ask Sharifa brand started back in the 90s when I built my first website, and people would say, oh, Sharifa built her website, build mine. Sharifa marketed her website, market mine. But I had a lot of clients, you know, that was back when Yahoo Instant Messenger and things were huge. But all I really did was just kind of hold their hand and go, click next, click next, click next, you know, but it was just that security of me being there because this is an unknown world for them.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. And that's really what I want to share with everybody is that you do not have to be an expert. You do not have to be a developer to reach these sorts of, you know, communication plateaus with digital solutions. It's really about finding your niche and finding what program is going to walk you through it. And a lot of the time, it's just a matter of clicking next, going through, watching a 5-minute video, and boom, you can figure it out. So it's really about empowering people to feel confident in what they can do on the computers, because I think it's an industry, you know, for women, for people that don't have as much of a budget, it's been gatekept essentially to think that you can't access these things and you can't do it by yourself. And I think so much of that, like you said, has really been broken down in quarantine because a lot of people have been forced to. It's, you know, the buck stops here, and it's, you have to do everything on the computer. And it's really built a lot of people's confidence up in a way that I think is going to continue to benefit the way we all communicate going forward.
I definitely agree. Now I'm going to come back to you, Megan. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the gentleman in the room, Dr. Michael Privatera. Dr. Michael is an executive leadership trainer. As president of Motivational Leadership Training, his focus is on improving organizational effectiveness and enhancing individual success. He has trained over 1,000 executives. His executive leadership certification runs 18 hours and covers 6 factors of leadership. A new specialized 3-hour executive certification is now available. Good morning, Dr. Michael. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Sharifa. This is a wonderful show, and I'm glad to be here.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining us. It's hard for me to get the men on the show. I don't know why. They say they don't like to talk, so I don't know why.
Well, I'm a social media expert, so I know what's the right thing to do, and the right thing to do is to be here and to be seen. And as I think it was somebody, a great actor that said, somebody said, it's good to see you, and he said, it's good to be seen.
Oh, wow. I like that. I like that. Might have to incorporate that into some of the shows. You're a social media expert. How does one become a social media expert?
Well, it's a circular reasoning. I look out for reporters and podcasters such as yourself. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I pitch them. And then when they look at me, they look at my website and they see that I had about a bunch of other reporters and a bunch of other podcasters. So then they say, I want to be on that website. I want to be part of that. And by the end of today, this will be on my website. Mm-hmm. So the next person that looks at me will say, oh, Mike was on the podcast with Sharifa. Let's put Mike on our podcast and it will be on his website. Plus, you know, looking at LinkedIn and Facebook and making sure you're at Twitter and doing everything that is necessary to reach as many people as you can. As you said, there's a lot of people during COVID-19 that are coming out of the woodwork. There's single people that don't want to be single anymore. There's people looking for significant others. There's people looking for opportunity, entrepreneurial opportunities. And a lot of us didn't want to be in the camera. We didn't like this kind of thing. I see myself in a little box, but now we're hams. We're all over it. We're like, hey, you know, look at this. Let me show you my book on happy-go-lucky. You know, look, I have a coloring book. And, you know, we're not shy anymore. Mm-hmm. And you must see that from the beginning of the year to now, where you got people like you do today that are willing to show their showcase themselves and what they're doing, only to help other people do the same.
Yes. I mean, I've seen the transition. I launched this show on the 30th of March. And I think back then we were all like, I don't know what to do. Now we're more like, let me tell you what I've done. So what are some of the things that you've done to pivot in your business and still remain in business?
Well, one of the things, my motto is to give the store away. And if you give the store away, you'll always have customers willing to buy. And that's my motto. So let's say, for instance, with Level Up Leadership. So this is Level Up Leadership. And this is a book you could read and it'll help you become an executive leader or an aspiring leader. But then I add a workbook, which is free. And then I just wrote a trainer's manual for this book. So you could get the trainer's manual. And for under $50, and I'm not trying to sell anything here, although it's social media, so we're always selling. For under $50, you could start your own training program. Well, you don't really need me. You just buy the books and you read them. And you just go out there. And if you have the wherewithal to get in front of HR managers, you could train. And anybody could train and do webinars now with COVID and come in May when St. Patrick's Day, the new St. Patrick's Day, the one that was closed, the new St. Patrick's Day becomes opened with the vaccine. There'll be a lot of people out. You know, there's going to be the roaring COVID-19ers.
I've never heard that before, but I've learned so many new phrases on this show. The roaring COVID-19ers. I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, Dr. Michael, I'm going to come back to you. I want to go back to Beth real quick. Beth, we were listening to Tisha and her experience and her journey, and she came out of everything she went through. Published author. One of the things that I've learned in my experience is the difference between marketing and PR, how to create a story, how to spin a story, how to get it out there. When you were listening to Tisha, what were some of your thoughts, or what are some of your thoughts now on her experience?
Well, I think having a book to support you and what your messaging is the perfect way to go. And anyone who's listening, who's thinking about putting a book out there, if you're putting your book out in the next 6 months, get it out now. Like I want Tisha to talk about that book every day, all day long, everywhere she goes, before it even comes out to the market. But I guess my first question would be, like, what's your message around your book? So obviously you've gone through this really traumatic journey. And what is like that one elevator speech that you want people to understand?
Okay.
It wasn't on me.
You know, I'm asking. Yeah.
That one thing I want people to take away is a lot of times hidden disability goes under the radar. People don't identify that sometimes there's something wrong with someone. Like, I get cussed out for even parking in handicapped parking, but whatever. I want them to take away that hidden disability, it exists, even though you don't see it. I've gone through a lot, but you couldn't see that I was going through a lot. When I was in pain, I had the same face. When I was
That makes sense.
Face, you know, it was that one face I had, but nobody knew what was going on with me internally.
Right. So your overall message, it sounds like, would be like you want people to take a beat before they judge.
Exactly.
Right. So your message is not only about wanting people to understand that this is a disability and this is something that people deal with. You know, I thought you were going to go make sure that you push if you think something's wrong with yourself. So I'm really excited about this different opportunity to think of it differently, but really going out there in the media and, pitching stories and writing articles about taking that time to understand what other people are going through, and then weaving in your own message so people relate with you, right? That know, like, and buy. So that now they know you, now they're going to like you. She's so strong. She's amazing. I can't believe she went through that. She was a model, you know, and then they look at you now and you're amazed, like you're fantastic. So in being inspired by you and being motivated by you and then buying your book or buying your program or, you know, putting you on Oprah.
Yes.
That's a little bit of how I work. I really look to see what the messaging is behind the branding, meaning like if you have, you know, these are AirPods, but what's the messaging behind your AirPods, right? It's not just listen to good music. It's, you know, it could be, you know, connect with your friends and listen to the same music or be in a space where you can be by yourself, but with your family, because we're getting a little crazy of each other. You know, it's looking for those stories around it and not actually like buy my product. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. No, Dr. Michael, when we were talking about Tisha's message, I saw you had something to say. What were some of your thoughts?
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, I think that most people, everyone, should think about writing a book and avoid the naysayers. There's a lot of people that are going to say, what's your followership? How many people know you? Who's going to read it? You know, it's just like nowadays, you used to hand somebody a business card. Now you hand them your book. And then if they like the title, they like the cover, they leave it on their desk and they impress someone or impress themselves. And the thing is that there's so many different outlets for books right now. That's the thing you have to remember. You could publish yourself. You could find a publisher. I'm now a collections editor, which is an editor for the Business Expert Press Organizational Behavior and Human Resource Management Division, which is leadership. And basically what I do is I get people to pitch me and then I see their product. You could build an entire business with just one book. And you give it away. Again, remember, give away to store, because people want to know, why should I buy your book? Well, you buy my book, you get a 43-page workbook, but you don't even have to buy my book. Just look at the 43-page workbook, even in the coloring book for children. So let's say you like dogs. Well, now you could color the dog and the coloring book. And then there's another thing too. What are you doing for society? And that's the big thing. There's people out there that are not having the same benefits as you. And by you talking about your illness or the things that you overcame, people could start overcoming their problems or issues or just things that are holding them back. So for instance, I helped the Tanzania Eastern African orphans and I have their names in my book. So even if you don't buy my book, if you look on Amazon, pick a kid's name and send them a Dr. Seuss book. So there you go, giving away the store without asking people to buy. And then they end up buying because they like you, just like your book or being part of your show and voting for you. Because of this show, your votes are gonna be escalated phenomenally.
That was powerful. Olivia, I would love to hear your thoughts on how you get your message out and your marketing out.
So going on that same realm of giving back in a way of, okay, let's actually give people something. I think philanthropy is huge, charity work in general. And that's in the direction of where I wanted to pivot and what I wanted to do. It's like, I could actually do the charitable advisory and help strategize complex assets and giving them away. And I ended up deciding to go the divorce route and helping women. But I'm training for an Ironman and I'm raising money for a nonprofit that helps educate women around finances. So I think for anyone listening here, it's like, challenge yourself and then set a goal to help other people while you're doing it. I don't know how you can make the world a better place in every way, but it's a little way, just to, you know, something you can do. And I think it also drives you if you're, you know, not self-motivated or self-driven already, doing something for someone else, just like what the Dr. Michael was saying, you know, do something like giving away something that you're really knowledgeable on really helps. So I like to talk about the charity and philanthropy. So I'm sure you can share. Everyone here can actually talk about it too.
Is that what you discuss on your podcast?
I will be. Yes. I'm going to have some guest speakers that's all around philanthropic giving and educational planning. And so everything that I talk about is, you know, business, personal, but it's your brand. So I'm sure, Beth, you actually probably have the best insights here since you help people with this. Is how do you actually get your brand out with the right messaging, with showing who you are personally. So that's, you know, charity is in my personal life and I'm bringing it to the forefront of my business. So Beth, maybe you could share your insights on, you know, what you do in general.
Yeah, I think you're doing the right thing because stepping forward with your message, but also with your personal story of why that message is so important to you. I think a lot of times we hear people's messaging around their business, but we don't actually know how it connects to who they are, mm-hmm. right? Because what we're doing is trying to get people to buy into what we've already bought into. Mm-hmm. So like when you were talking, so I'm an interim foster mom. So I always talk about that. And I always encourage people to go to their local government agencies and see what they help they need with. It's because we all can give money to charity, but when we step up and do something, it's like find those agencies within your community that aren't getting the visibility, they aren't getting the attention, which means they're not getting the money and they're not getting the support they need. So I think that part's really important. But when I stepped forward and started sharing that I was doing the interim foster care and getting people excited about what I was doing, not only did I get several women, like I'm so proud of this, guys, several women signed up to also be foster moms, interim foster moms. And that was my point. And I'm so gratified towards that, but it does raise my visibility and people are like, oh, Beth has a cocktails and the publicity stuff, but I really like her because I can see what her heart's about. So I think, and in my podcast, I talk to entrepreneurs about what their actual story is. But for my listeners who come back and give me feedback, they always say to me, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you shared that. Wow, that story is amazing. And to me, I'm just having a conversation with a friend. Mm-hmm. So the more and more I show up as me, the easier it is to then do Facebook Lives about me and Instagrams about me and really step forward to, you know, my ultimate goal is my personal brand and stepping forward into that light. I always use this quote, courage is taking your talents through the fear and into the light. And I really try to embody that every day.
I think that's powerful. And I'm just looking at the different extremes. So you're the interim foster care mom, right? And then at the end, it's like, so you're dealing with all the foster care moms and you're dealing with all the foster care children. So at the end of the day, it's like, cocktail? You know what I mean? It's like after all this stress, I need a cocktail. Seriously, Megan, your specialty and what you're passionate about is nonprofits.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we usually say time, treasure, and talents. Those are the three. So, you know, the donation of the treasure, but it's just as equally important to share that niche, your talent. If you're a speaker, share your story, share what you're doing. And I think I've had the unique pleasure of working with some entrepreneurs who are using simple texting to share their brand. And Beth, like you mentioned, it's about having conversations with friends. And that's really what texting does. It's two ways. So you have people reporting back. And I think one particular client that stands out, her name is Lindsay Irwin, and she created something called Pep Talks. And it was just a way for her to share little bits of from her book and from her podcast and just giving inspirational tidbits, one text every night. And she went in, I think, about a year from going to about 5,000 people to well over 25,000 people who she texts every night and has conversations with and has really created this community now who are solely there because they fell in love with what she as a person was saying, not her product. And as a result, both have grown exponentially. So having those conversations and really a culmination of what you all have said of just giving for the sake of giving and having people fall in love with who you are means they're going to fall in love with your product and with your story and everything. And as a result, it's fun. It's really fun to be able to pour your passion into something and have it be what your livelihood revolves around.
Mm-hmm. So explain to us, what is simple texting?
Yeah, absolutely. I know, kind of got ahead of myself, but simple texting is a web-based platform for SMS marketing and business texting. And it gives organizations the ability to send marketing messages and campaigns, whether that's alerts, provide one-on-one customer service, all through using text messages. And so we have a variety of organizations that span, you know, nonprofit, e-commerce, entrepreneurs, Fortune 500. It's taking the way we used to communicate through various channels and breaking down and taking away the noise and putting it directly into someone's cell phone and sending them a text that for you was maybe texting 500 people with one message, but to them can show up individually on their phone as if it's just two friends who are talking, which is pretty much what everyone really wants when there is a lot of noise. But I think what's most exciting about it is it doesn't devalue email marketing, doesn't devalue what you're putting out on social media, because it's so important to have a presence everywhere. But especially now, I think people are really craving that one-on-one connection. And that's something that texting can really give, because it's usually reserved for what friends and family are using to communicate with each other. And now for your brand to get in there among the ranks of those closest allies, it's pretty valuable.
Yes, I think it's interesting. Have you looked into texting for your business, Dr. Michael?
Yes, I use texting all the time. I think it's really important. One of the things that I also do is I try to bring things to light. Like in COVID-19, a lot of teens are feeling very depressed. Some of them are thinking about committing suicide. So my daughters and I wrote the next series, Happy Go Lucky, called The Pandemic Strikes Home. And there's a little bit of me in there because, you know, I break all the rules. I go out without the mask or whatever, right? And, you know, we have to think about what's going on in our lives. How could you help people? So just listening to this podcast, I see, you know, people socializing more healthier with better drinks that are, you know, using a juicer. I see, you know, someone texting to reach someone instead of giving them a long text, a short contrite text that'll energize them to want to respond. I also see a lawyer sitting there saying, hey, this woman's been oppressed and we need to make sure that this woman gets what she deserves. And you know, the law will say, marry 20 years, you get 20 to 40% in alimony. Don't think that somebody could try to get around that. There's no way of getting around that. Both lawyers know the law. And then you look at someone that has broken through, a model, who beautiful model that was at one point not able to stand up is able to stand up. Reminds me of Truman standing up after World War II. It's like something that is amazing. You're just giving it away. And through texting, what you could do is you could just, no more calls, no more robocalls. Just make sure you reach somebody with a short, contrite text and see if you get an answer. And if you get an answer, then you know you reached them.
Mm. I think you just did a commercial for everyone. I didn't see an Ash Sharifa Hardy commercial in there, though.
Michael's looking for a job. Simple texting. Give us a call.
Megan says she is iron. What do you think of that, Olivia?
I think that's great. I think that's awesome.
He threw you in there, the lawyer looking for saving the women. I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
You know, when you think about it, right? So you're looking at somebody like this, a lot of women right now are feeling oppressed and their husbands may be telling them that you're not going to get anything. I have everything. And then two lawyers will get together and say, what are you talking about? She gets 20% of everything you get a year for the rest of her life, you know? And it's so simple, but everyone's feeling like, oh no. And then if you get on the phone, say, just call me. And you just talk to them for 10, 15 minutes free. You're giving the store away. And then you know what? By the time that phone call is over, you're going to get an inquiry for another job.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I want to go over to Tisha real quick. When you wrote your book and when you launched this journey, what made you decide that you know, because we're talking about women being oppressed and that sort of thing. How did you know that you can go out and take this next part of your journey?
Faith. Step that on faith.
Okay. But I mean, was it easy for you? Was it difficult? I mean, because you have medical challenges and now you're on this journey to promote a book and get your book out there.
Right. It was difficult. And I still today, I need assistance occasionally. As far as walking, like I would never use a cane because I didn't feel stable. I would never use a walker because I didn't feel stable. I felt like with a cane and a walker, I was a faller. So I felt like even though I was lightweight, it wasn't going to hold me up. So I would use human people as a human crutch. And I would always just hold on to them.
You're holding on to them and you're feeling all these things, what makes you go, this is a good time to write a book?
Well, the book was written in 18. Mm-hmm. And I feel like COVID was like a gift and a curse for me. Mm-hmm. Because I was sitting on it, wasn't doing anything. And then as soon as COVID hit, it was like, promote, go mm-hmm. and promote. And that's what I started doing. So what I did was I stuck a book, and I live in a cul-de-sac. So I stuck a book in everybody in my development mailbox. And then I have the whole community like, what in the world? We look at you every day, but they don't know what's going on internally. But we look at you every day, and I couldn't drive. I'm now driving. You know, my son and I walk the development, you know, just for workouts, and I'm trying to build my equilibrium up so that, you know, I can stay on balance. I was out of heels. They cut out heels. As a model, as a woman itself, heels to me was everything. It makes you walk different. It makes you look different. I felt elegant. So when they took away heels, I'm like, oh my gosh, now I'm back in heels. I'm driving, I'm walking. Occasionally I'm just on my own. My son is like, go ahead. My husband like, go ahead, do what you gotta do. And I'm doing it on my own. But you know, I have those good days, bad days. I have more good days than I do bad days. God don't give you a gift and take it back. And that's what I'm grateful of. At the end of the day, I do give. I give. I give. I talk. I let people know, you know, what I've gone through. I'm writing a second book to tell them how much progress that I've made. If you go on my website, you see the life that I live, vacations I take. It came with a lot of phobias. I've overcome most of all of them because I hadn't crossed the street in 10 years. Because every time I cross the street, I will fall. I'm crossing the street, escalators, elevators, everything. Everything that I was once afraid of, I'm now challenging them. Like, okay, I got this.
I think that's powerful. What did you think of that, Megan?
I think everything you say is just this soundbite of strength and fortitude. And I mean, I'm surprised you haven't written a book just from this conversation right here. I'm on Amazon right now looking to purchase it.
Yeah. Beth, your thoughts?
I keep thinking about all the pitches I could write for her, mm-hmm. and all the ideas. I think of like, you should be on The Doctors, you should be on Rachel Ray, you should be in Health Magazine, you should be in Women's Day Magazine, you should be, you know, because everything you're saying is a pitch idea for a segment for a TV or an article. That's yeah. So when I do this, I saw myself do this, I put my hand down, but this is when I feel an idea really works. So I put my hand down. So we'll talk afterwards, but there's so much about your story that I think that you could be sharing that's not about the disease and not about the book itself, but more about the journey and like the phobias. How many people have developed phobias? I'm sure there's some great statistic in the United States during COVID, and how you relate to that phobia is a great segment for any show that's doing a health segment, any article that's doing a health segment. I want to see a full body shot on the right side and the article on the left side on a magazine. Anybody else?
I do.
I've done Medium magazine. I've done a few podcasts. I've done, what is it? Medium magazine.
And then it's all about leveraging afterwards, like how you're turning that into sales, right? How you're getting the word out is great, but then how are you using that media to then get sales for yourself and then set you up to be able to sell that next book? Maybe from the back of the room doing speaking engagements.
Right.
Like, well, I don't know, Dr. Michael, I feel like you speak, and giving those books away is great, but I also know like you should have another, I think you can have another version where you're speaking and selling it in the back of the room.
Right. Yeah,
my friends, is where the book money is, I believe.
Right. Yeah, I do leadership development and I give away when I sell it. But the thing is that when you're 5'8" and you don't need heels, because you're already beautiful, wear sneakers and look great. So that's the key. The key is that you have an internal feeling that something was taken away from you, but you already have everything you need right now. You're beautiful, you're 5'8", and you're doing everything. You broke through, and your next book could be Breaking Through. And you know, forget the heels, you don't need them.
That's the title. Forget the Heels is the title.
Yeah. Tisha, you were going to say something? It was gone. It was gone. So I like the title of that book, Forget the Heels, because I go through the same thing. I used to, heels was my thing. I had to wear heels everywhere. I would go to lunch. I had to have heels. Casual parties, I had to have heels. I love heels. No. Now I never wear heels, especially, go ahead, Tisha.
Okay, so the reason why the heels were, and the heels were a big part of my journey is because, like I said, being an ex-model. But when I would put on heels, I would fall down. So I became a faller. And it was almost like, no, I'm gonna wear heels because I'm no longer gonna be a faller. Most likely, you know, like a challenge for myself. Like, nope, I'm gonna put these heels on and I'm gonna keep going. That's what it was. It was more so of another challenge that I was gonna overcome. So the heels were important to me because I was the woman that never wore sneakers. I never wore sneakers. So I mean, that was the reason.
That was me though. I never wore sneakers at all, you know, but being at home, I like the mention of the whole phobia, because it's one of the things that we discuss on the show. It's like, how do you know in a global pandemic when you are actually being affected by phobia? Like for me, I'm a recluse who hardly ever leaves the house. Everything, my food delivered, everything. I'm here. My car doesn't move for weeks at a time. So it's like, how do you know that, you know, this is what I've been training for. So how do I know I don't have a phobia? Maybe I'm agoraphobic and I just didn't know it. So I was asking different people on the show. It's like, do you have a fear of going out? Are you afraid to go out? I'm like, not really. I just like my house. So we'll see. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Olivia.
I think overcoming challenges and doing what's best for you and breaking through. I think, Tisha, you kind of stole it there. That's what I'm taking from it.
And how can people find you if they're interested in your assistance?
SummerhillWealthManagement.com. So Summerhill Wealth.
For the women, for the ladies.
Yep. Yeah. If men reach out, there are plenty of men reach out because I can help them, but I will turn them down. So
thank you, Olivia. Megan, what do you have for us?
Yeah. So I think my biggest takeaway would just be share your story and give it a try through texting. There's a lot of ways to communicate with people, but this is a really great opportunity to personally reach out to your stakeholders. And because accessibility is one of the biggest things that we promote at Simple Texting, 2-week free trial, no credit cards, no commitments, nothing. Just to experience it, try it, see if this is a way that you want to reach your audience, because they can tell you if they like it and they can tell you if they prefer something else. So www.simpletexting.com, give us a try. You'll see a lot of articles I've written on there, and just 2 weeks, give us a shot. And I think you're gonna really like the way it puts you in contact with people.
So what do? Upload all the numbers like in a file?
You can. You can also use keywords. We have click to text forms that can go on your website, web forms, a million ways you can create calls to action. You can share your keywords on social media. There's a lot of ways, and we walk you through it all. From the second that you're onboarded, you're connected with someone who can answer all of your questions. We have support 7 days a week. So we're really passionate about making sure you can get it, understand the product, and then feel supported going forward to grow it any way that you want to.
I'm just asking, because I'm running for Senate in 2022, and I might have to give me what cool little keyword. Text.
You call me, and we are going to get you your keyword. We're going to splash it all over. It's we have a ton of political. This year has been so politically charged, and texting again. It's what helped Obama win his campaign. We got a huge amount of publicity in 2008 because that texting was the way he was reaching people with his messages. So you give us a call, we got you.
I'm going to give you that call. Thank you, Megan. Tisha, what do you have for us?
Well, my big takeaway is for people to stop disregarding hidden disabilities. I was in the fight of my life and surrounded around love. At the end of the day, it didn't even matter, because once the people that I love left, you know, I was in a dark place, and being in a dark place is not good. I was even contemplating suicide. So just, you know that you know, it life is worth living. I love it. You know, if you pick up the book, I've gone through a lot, but if you look at me today, I want people to look at where I am today. You go on the website, I live life to the fullest. Like nothing ever happened. I've been living with the disease for 10 years. And it's okay to say you're not okay. And I didn't know that. So I hid it until one day I was on the ground and dang near dead. Life is a beautiful thing. You just have to live it.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And you have a beautiful spirit. I'm sending you a virtual hug from California because your spirit, your energy, your light is just so amazing. It's so beautiful. I appreciate you sharing your story, not only with us today, but with the world. It's very powerful.
Thank you.
Dr. Michael.
Well, I got to say, I agree with you. Tisha is one big hug. That should be the name of the next. Everybody wants to hug Tisha, right? After she talks and just looking at her, she's beautiful and nice. My idea is that you really got to go on your strengths. Forget about your weaknesses. We continuously say, oh, I have a problem with that. I don't like public speaking. I don't like the way I look on LinkedIn, or I don't like the way I look on Zoom. Forget it. You know, put a pro and a con list. You know, I could say I'm 5'9", I'm follically challenged. No, cross that out. You say, going on my strengths. I'm Dr. Mike Pravaterra. I'm here, a leadership trainer. I'm going to help you be a great leader so you're a great wife, a great husband, a great friend, a great significant other, and your children look up to you, your followers look up to you, and people will want to be around you because, like Tisha, you want to be magnanimous. And to be magnanimous, you have to go on your strengths. Forget the competition. Think about yourself. You're so special right where you are. Now go out and share it with the world.
So you can do all that even if you're follically challenged?
I could do all that at 5'9 and follically challenged. I cross that off because I even though I can't wear heels, I wear the Sylvester Stallone heels, so I get an extra inch or so, right? So yeah. You have to think about that. Even Sylvester Stallone wore heels. So I can understand with Tisha. And by me saying wear sneakers, I wasn't saying wear sneakers. I'm saying whatever shoe, it may start with a one inch heel, 2 inch, and maybe eventually she'll be back up to the 6 inch heel.
Or maybe she could just give them up. Heels were created initially to torture women, right? So they were. That's a true story. Look it up.
I gave them up, but I, you know, occasionally put them on. I don't wear heels every day like I once did. I'm 5 minutes from 50 now. It's like, oh.
Beth, what do you have for us?
Well, if you're interested in the cocktails, clean cocktails, righteous recipes for the modern mixologist, I ask everybody to please call their local bookstore to get a copy first before you go to Amazon, because we need to support those local bookstores. Yes. And, you know, I think that the conversation we had with today was really fantastic, because not only was it around giving back and being open, but it was about thinking about your story and how that can help other people. You know, I don't believe that Tisha even understands the amount of storylines that she told us while she was talking to us. So have a conversation with somebody, figure out what your story is, and then telling your story to the world. I think about it this way. You're actually doing it as a disservice if you're not out there shouting from the rooftops, because helping one person is so important in life, and publicity for me is the way that I do it. So if you're interested in getting publicity for your brand, please visit me at BethNydick.com and listen to my podcast, where I interview entrepreneurs, where I take them off a pedestal and onto a bar stool next to you. It's called Behind the Spotlight and available on all platforms.
I'm going to have to go sit on that bar stool and talk about my journey. That's going to get the text thing from Megan. Talk about the Senate over there with Beth. We're going to make it happen. I wanted to thank you all for being guests on this morning's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important, that we don't need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show, but don't just share the show. Don't just watch the show. Please support our guests. Visit their websites, their their information is in the Facebook post. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Connect with them. And when you send that message, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.